We have so much enjoyed living up here, seeing the beauty of the summer, and now fall. Some of you know that we're from Colorado, and falls are beautiful in Colorado. You have nice yellow trees, but then we've been laughing because you know those, you can buy the plastic fake leaves, the red and orange ones. Well, I thought they were just kind of somebody's figment of imagination because I'd never seen them before. And then we come up here and it's like, they're real. There's real red trees. We went on a drive this week over the covered road by Houghton. That was amazing. The Tuvalu's backyard, Copper Harbor. I mean, it's kind of, most of the time there aren't people in the car that don't know us, which is a good thing because we're just always pointing and, you know, but it's amazing. It's kind of like, you know, for the first time, we're seeing things. And now that the leaves are disappearing, we were sitting on the deck, and I looked, and you can see the buildings downtown. And it was like, oh, I hadn't seen those before. And it was like, why didn't I notice? Well, the tree in our neighbor's yard dropped its leaves, and you could see more. So it's kind of like a whole new world opening up for us. As the trees drop their leaves, we've been talking about putting off the old and putting on the new. There's my lead in. they're setting their leaves. They're falling off. If you notice, there's always a few. If you look around this winter, there'll be a few of the old leaves that hang on. Somehow they hang on through the winter, through the wind, through all of that. But when spring comes, what happens? No matter what, they're gone. How does that happen? The new life in the tree, the sap coming up, pushes them, and the old is gone. I thought that was a good picture for us as believers. When we repent and trust Jesus as our Savior, new life comes in. And as the more we study the Word, the more we increase in knowledge, that sap flows and pushes out the old. And we have those new leaves. That's this section in Colossians 3 that we're looking at. Putting off the old and putting on the new. Walking in our new lives. Let's pray as we look into God's Word today. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your Word. Lord, thank you for the beauty you have created here in the world. The change of seasons, the colors, the brilliance of the stars at night. Father, thank you. Thank you that you've given us your Word that we may know you. Father, I ask that you would teach us today, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, our minds, our lives, and change us and transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. Actually, let's start on 10, kind of jump back in from last week. 10 says, have put on the new self, who's being renewed to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all in all. No distinctions, it says. One of the probably most prominent features in Calumet is the church is downtown. I mean, you can see the steeples from everywhere. Are we running or not? No, we're still not. I had a nice picture of the churches. Oh, well, you can pretend. You've seen them. Why are there so many? I did some research, and I guess there were up to 30 at one point. Oh, the verse. Huh, we forgot. There's the churches. Okay. Let's see. Let's see if I can do it. He's Colossians 1:18. He is head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to first place in everything. Got to get that word. Will come. Sorry. Okay. Churches, Calumet, there's tons. I mean, and they're beautiful. You see the steeples rising all over, but why so many? from the research that I did, nationalities, the connection. There was six Catholic churches. St. Joseph's was the Slovenian. St. Anthony's was the Polish. St. Mary's was the Italian. St. Anne's was the French Canadians. There was also, let's see, Sacred Heart, which I think is still in existence today. There were three Lutheran churches. This building was one of those. Predominantly Finnish was the Lutheran, but there were also Swedish and Norwegian Lutherans, and then Swedish, Norwegian, and Cornish Methodists. Each country separated from the other, having their own separate building. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Finn or Cornish, between Italian or Swedish. Oh, wait. Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised. When Jesus died for us and rose from the grave, that wall that separates us was broken down. Amen. Between nationalities, between different people groups. In Colossae, it might have been the Greek church, the Jewish church, the circumcised and the uncircumcised church. Then you have the barbarian church and the Scythian church. And you have a church where the slaves go and a church where the free men go. What does the verse say? All together. As I was studying this, I started thinking, can you imagine going to a church where the pastor or one of the elders was a slave and you were a free man? Slaves were property in that day. And you had a slave get up and expound the truth of God's word. That would be a little hard to take. I mean, who does he think he is? He's a slave. He's a piece of... What did Jesus do? He broke the barrier. There's no distinctions anymore. There's no differences. Nationality doesn't matter. The Jews before Christ, before the Messiah came, were very elitist. They looked down on everyone. Gentiles, the dogs, they were referred to many times. That separation was huge. When Jesus came, what did he do? He died for us dogs. He died for the Jew as well. That barrier is broken down. Scythians, barbarians and Scythians, barbarians, we kind of get that word, we've heard of that. They're bad people, you know. Scythians are even worse than barbarians. They were extremely cruel when they conquered a people. I don't want to go into all the details, it's pretty gross. They were really bad. And yet this verse says all of those people were gathered together into one body. There was no distinction. Because of the new life that Jesus brought to them. That's how we need to view each other as well. When we have repented and trusted Jesus as our Savior, it doesn't matter if we're tall or short, old, young, German, Finnish, Swedish, Norwegian. There's no difference anymore. We have new life through what Jesus did for us. We are new people, new creations. No more Jew and Greek. No more circumcised and uncircumcised. Barbarian, Scythian, Finnish, Cornish, Slovenian, or Swedish, or Italian, or whatever else we want to throw there. There is no more difference. We are made new. That's the point here. In Christ, in the Messiah, we are new. We are new creatures. No more slave or free. Let's look at Galatians. Back a couple of books. Galatians 3, verse 28. We have the same idea. In case we didn't get it when we read Colossians, when we read Galatians 3:28, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. In Jesus, we are united. We all are new in Him. That's verse 11. Verse 12 says, "And so, knowing that we are new creatures, and so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." As those who have been chosen, those who have put off the evil desires that we talked about, put off idolatry, put off anger and slander against others, those lists that we read before. As those who have put off division, and those who have put on new life, put on what is consistent with your new identity. How would the trees look in the spring with red and orange shriveled leaves on them? Something would be wrong. That wouldn't look right. We've got the new green. Put off the old. Put on the new identity that we have in Jesus. We've been resurrected with Him. We've been forgiven. Therefore, as a result, we should be compassionate. We should be kind. We should be humble and gentle and patient. He starts off again by saying, those who have been chosen by God. John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Why would God choose me? Why? But He did. Think of what that means. The Creator, the all-powerful One, chose us. He sent His Son, who came as a man and took on flesh and died for you and me. That's amazing. Chosen by God. A new relationship. Let's look over in Romans chapter 9. The language that's used here with the chosen and beloved, and that's an Old Testament idea. The Jews, the chosen nation. But now that's applied to us as believers. Those who have repented and trusted Jesus. Romans 9 verse 25. As He says also in Hosea, "I will call those who were not my people, my people. And her who was not my beloved, beloved. And it shall be that in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' there they shall be called sons of the living God." Before, we were not a people. We like being proud of our heritage. It's fun for me to think that my ancestors were German. We have other nationalities. But think of, we were not a people before. We were wandering and aimless, hopeless in this world, really, regardless of nationality. But God chose. God chose to send His Son to die in our place, to pay the penalty for us. We're chosen. We're holy. We're separated from the world. He's called us out. We are beloved, objects of His affection. Think what that means. That is our new life. No longer nationality. No longer station. No longer anything but Jesus, the Messiah, the promised one. As those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on new life. Put on, it says, a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Put those on. Last time we talked about taking off the old. When we repent and trust Jesus as our Savior, the old is gone. Put on new. It's something we need to do on a regular basis. He says, put on a heart of compassion. The King James calls it the bowels of mercy. And it's like, Okay, for Jews, the bowels, that was the center of emotion. And I'm kind of thinking that might be better. When you are worried and nervous, where do you feel it? Here? Well, if you've got heart problems, maybe, but it's generally a little lower. Your stomach kind of does this, you know that fun little thing it does? That's what they, how they viewed this region as the seat of emotion. So if we put on bowels of mercy, if we put on a heart of mercy, of compassion, what do we have? A heart that looks at others and sees the need. That deep feeling in our gut that we get of compassion for others. Imitating God. What God saw our need. He saw us as lost and helpless. And He sent His Son to die in our place. Put on that heart. That compassion that God has, we need to have for others. Be concerned for other people's needs. 114 sandwiches? Is that what it is? 99, okay. Why do we do that? Spend an hour making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? That's fun. Get it all over. Why? A heart of compassion. That's only one thing. There's more. That's what we're to do, is to look at the needs of people. Put on a heart of compassion. Put on kindness. It's often used, again, of God's mercy toward His people. Grace that encompasses the whole person. Mellows harshness, kindness. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." It is His kindness that leads us to repentance. Again, what's our example? Following Him. Reading through the Gospels, how many times you see Jesus saying, they're like sheep without a shepherd. He'd been, one place I just read recently, he'd been speaking for 3 days. Can you imagine going to church for 3 days? They were hungry. No McDonald's on the corner. He said, we need to feed them. And the disciples are going, yeah, we got five loaves and two fish. How are we going to feed this crowd? Jesus said, have them sit down. And He fed them. He had compassion. We need to have that. Put on humility. It's a posture of submission, not focused on me, what I can get out of this, but focused on the other person. For the Greeks, humility was a negative thing. Scripture at this time changed that idea. How about us in our time? Is humility one of those virtues that, well, you can't do that. I'm humble. It doesn't work. Our society doesn't think of that very high either. But it says we're to be put on humility, not focus on ourselves. Again, Jesus is our example. Humbled Himself. Emptied Himself. Put on gentleness. Opposite of acting in anger. That was on our list earlier. Put off anger. Put on gentleness. Now, gentleness and meekness, we often get that idea of a doormat, a gentle, a spineless. That's not the idea here. It's more the idea of being willing to suffer injury instead of inflicting it. Being willing to bear the blame. Being willing to take someone's anger even when you don't deserve it. That's the idea. That's what we are to put on. How do we do that? What about my rights? I don't deserve that kind of treatment. Put on gentleness. Understanding. How much has God forgiven us? Just a little, right? You know, the little lies we tell. He forgave those. But that's all, right? Everything. Go down that list to the bottom, to the deep, dark ones. Jesus died and washed those away. He paid the penalty for every sin. How can we forgive someone else? How can we be gentle and kind? because of the kindness shown to us. That should be a mark in our behavior. Put on patience. God was patient with us. We need to be patient with those around us. When we're patient, we don't get angry. And we all love being patient. It's kind of one of those things. But how patient was God with us? How long did he put up with us? I shared my testimony a bit last week, and I heard the gospel probably when I was 3 the first time and wanted to respond and didn't. And then in high school, I had a friend that shared with me the truth of Jesus dying and paying the penalty for my sin. Still, I didn't respond. It wasn't until years later, and I remembered what had been said. How patient was God with me? How patient is God with us? We should be patient with others. It says, put on forgiveness, put on forbearance in verse 13. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Put off anger, malice, slander. Put on compassion, kindness, humility, forgiveness. Bearing with one another has the idea of tolerance, enduring, putting up with. My wife has put up with a lot from me. Forbearing, forgiving. The Corinthians got in trouble because they were taking each other to court. This verse is talking to them. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. The Thessalonians were praised for enduring persecution and affliction. That's the example to follow. Forgiving, forbearing, actively accepting those who have wronged us. And in our day and age, we always say, but what about my rights? Forbearing, forgiving each other, being gracious. As a body, we're to be gracious, forgiving each other wrongs that are done. The end of verse 13, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. What's our example? Oh, can we go back? Will it go backwards? There we go. Can you see? It's a little hard to see, but there is a man up in front there. In the Western world, with sheep, the shepherd usually stands at the back and drives the sheep, gets them to go down the trail. In Eastern cultures, the shepherd is in the front. And he leads the sheep. The sheep hear his voice. I can't think who we were talking at men's Bible study maybe a month ago. And the sheep are all gathered together and for the day and feeding on the hillside. And the shepherds are talking. And it's time to separate and go their own ways. And the sheep, the shepherd calls. And as the sheep get to the trail where their shepherd is, that's the way they go. And the others go off following their shepherd. We're to follow our leader. Our shepherd, Jesus. How can we be forgiving? He forgave us. How can we be humble? Think of the all-powerful Creator coming as a helpless baby. That's our example. How can we be kind? He saw the people. He saw their need. He saw their hunger. He saw, how many times do we read that He healed their sicknesses? He saw their need. Follow our leader. Following Him, forgiving others. He who has been forgiven much. That's you and I. Matthew 18 talks about two servants. It's one of the parables that Jesus told. And there was a servant, I forget the exact total of the amounts, but we'll say one servant owed $1 million. And the master came and said, pay me my money now. I need it today. You got to come up with this $1 million. And he goes, I can't. And the master says, then you're in jail until you pay me all of it. And the servant goes, please don't do that. Please, my family, please. And the master forgave him his debt, wiped it out. Think how amazing that is. But then the servant goes down the street, runs into a friend of his that owed him $10. What does he do? throws him in jail. Till you pay me my $10. Is that forgiveness? No. No, we need to follow our leader. There's a story about a traveler made his way with a guide through the jungles of Burma. They came to a shallow but wide river and waded through it to the other side. When the traveler came out of the river, numerous, those little black things, you know, that, leeches had attached to this man. His first instinct would be mine, get him off, get him out of here. But the guide said, don't. Wait. You need to take a bath in what he called balsam, a balsam bath. And when you do that, then those leeches will release and let go and come off. Otherwise, if you pull them off, you have little bits left in you, which becomes infected and causes major problems. Hurt by others can leave little bits, little pieces. What do we need to do? We need to soak in the bath of Jesus' forgiveness. Remember how much he forgave you. How much he put up with you. And yet he died for you. Following our leader. God forgives us. That should be the basis for forgiving others. Verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Love is kind of like the belt. We put on kindness. We put on compassion. We put on mercy. We put on forgiveness. And then we take love and we tie it all together. Be above all else. Most important quality. Corinthians, faith, hope, and love abide. The greatest of these things is love. Showing love gives evidence of God's work in our lives. We should be like John, never getting over, God loves me. Why would he love me? The perfect bond of unity, the bond of perfection. As we hold fast to him who is our head, to Jesus, united together with him. Back in chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 19, says, not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Kind of negative, not holding fast. We are to hold fast to him who is the head, to him who supplies everything that we need. For the joints and the ligaments, for us to be able to grow. He is the head of the body, the church. Hold fast to him. He is our supply. He is the one who holds us together. He is the one who grows us together. As we close today, first question, have you put on your new clothes? Have you come to that point where you've repented and trusted Jesus? He puts on. Sorry. As the picture shows, he puts new clothes. He takes off the old. He washes off those hurts, those leeches that are stuck on us. And he puts new clothes on us. Have we done that? Let's bow our heads. Again, I want you to think for a minute. If you've never repented and trusted Jesus as your Savior, I would ask you, I would encourage you to do that today. You simply in your heart say, God, I know that I've sinned. I know that I'm separated from you. Please forgive me and come into my life. If you've never done that and you would like to do that today, would you please raise your hand so I can pray for you? Talk to me or one of the elders afterwards. Most important that we put on the new clothes. Those of us who have done that, are we living with new clothes? Are we living humbly? Could our lives be characterized as meek? Are we showing kindness? Are we being patient? Are we being forgiving? Are we centered on Christ or centered on ourselves? Let's pray. Father, again we ask that you would work in our hearts, our lives. Lord, if there's anyone who has not turned from their sin and come to you seeking your forgiveness, I ask that they would do that today. Father, those of us who have, help us to remember that you have taken off our old clothes, that you have put new clothes on us. We have new leaves. Your love has changed us. Help us to live our lives in that way. In Jesus' name, amen.